Welcome to Virginia Outdoor Adventures Podcast. We bring outdoor adventure stories and recommendations from athletes, conservationists, authors, park guides, community leaders, and local business owners from across the Commonwealth. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. Mason Neck Peninsula in Fairfax County is an outdoor oasis providing opportunities for hiking, cycling, boating, fishing, kayaking, mountain biking, camping, horseback riding, and wildlife observation on 9,000 acres of public land and open space. Gunston Hall plays a unique role in the historical preservation and environmental conservation of the area. Situated on 550 acres of forest, meadows, and riverfront, it provides opportunities for visitors to enjoy the outdoors via a network of trails, as well as connections to other parks and resources on the peninsula. Executive Director Scott Stroh is leading Gunston Hall in the conservation of a unique ecosystem while providing the fundamental right of outdoor access for all. Let's go. Scott, thank you so much for joining us on Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Thank you, Jessica. It's great to be with you today.
What do you love about Virginia's outdoors?
Well, I think I love everything about Virginia's outdoors. It's such an amazing place. Just the diversity and the proximity are things that really appeal to me. There's so much diversity of outdoor experiences, different types of things you can do, recreational opportunities, and really even living in Northern Virginia, it's all pretty close. So it's easy to access, easy to do different things. For me personally, I really love being on the water and just have a really enjoyed getting out on the rivers, the streams, the Chesapeake Bay, heading over to the ocean. And even when I think about being on the water, there's such tremendous diversity. Even here on Mason Neck, I can go out on the Potomac. I can get in all sorts of smaller streams and wetlands. And it's just fascinating and inspiring to be able to do that.
I completely agree. I love the water around here too, because there's everything from rivers to lakes, and you can even like find these little coves that you can get lost in your kayak. And I think those are some of my favorite places, especially around Mason Neck.
I agree. I've got a few favorites, and I have to admit that I try to keep them somewhat secret, but I'd be happy to share with you if you ever wanted to go for a kayak.
That sounds lovely. I think I'm going to take you up on that. So where does your love from the water come from? Where are you from?
Jessica, I grew up in Philadelphia, but my family is all from the Eastern Shore of both Virginia and Maryland, and I spent considerable time over on the Eastern Shore as a child. My family were watermen, and they were farmers, and I just loved, as a child growing up, being around the water, being on the docks, being in the boats, and really just fell in love with the Chesapeake, with the larger Chesapeake Bay watershed, and with those personal but also sort of communal experiences of just being outside on the water and fishing and swimming and looking at the birds and just taking it all in. And that's something that has stayed with me and really defined my life in many ways, personally and professionally. And as I have progressed in my career, I've been very fortunate to live and work along the Outer Banks of North Carolina, along the coast in Florida. And all of those experiences have reinforced that really powerful connection to the water. But now I'm just thrilled to be in Virginia and reconnect with the Chesapeake and the watershed that I grew up with and fell in love with as a child, and really enjoy now just getting my children. I have two daughters, 11 and 14, and we are very blessed to live on campus here at Gunston Hall. And it's just been wonderful to be able to share that love with them and give them opportunities to connect with nature and the outdoors, just like I had as a child.
Let's talk a little bit about the Mason Neck Peninsula in general. I'm really excited about this episode because I go to Mason Neck quite often, and there is so much to do there and so much to see and so much to experience. Let's sort of dive in for the listeners so that they can understand what all is available at Mason Neck.
Sure. Mason Neck is an absolutely phenomenal place within the larger Northern Virginia area. And it's really, in many ways, what I would describe as a rural and pastoral oasis in the midst of so much density and congestion in many ways. And the amazing thing is we're only 20 miles south of the National Mall in Washington, D.C., yet there are approximately 9,000 acres of public land and open space and outdoor adventure opportunities here on Mason Neck, which is really phenomenal when you think about it. The peninsula itself is entirely bordered by the Potomac River, the Occoquan River, different bays, different coves. And on Mason Neck, we have an amazing array of parks. And really, tying back to one of the questions you asked earlier, one of the things I love about Virginia is also just the award-winning local, regional, and state parks, which are throughout the Commonwealth, and we have a number of them right here on Mason Neck. When you turn off Route 1 and head down Gunston Road onto the peninsula, you will first come to Meadowood, which is a Bureau of Land Management facility, thousands of acres of trails, of equestrian and horseback riding opportunities and experiences. You next come to Pohick Bay Regional Park, which is where I spend a significant amount of my time launching my canoe or my kayak with my family. An amazing park that just offers access to so much of the watershed in our area. And then, of course, you've got Mason Neck State Park, and you've got the National Wildlife Refuge a little further down Gunston Road that collectively really provide a wonderful mix of conservation, outdoor recreation, education, and really, you know, not unimportantly, particularly now, just amazing opportunities to safely gather outdoors as a family or with friends and just be enriched, be refreshed. You know, one of the things that we really pride ourselves on at Gunston Hall is being a place of retreat and being a place where you can disconnect and sort of find refuge in whatever way is meaningful for you by being outdoors and just taking in the amazing natural resources and recreational opportunities that are around us. In many ways, and as I said, I've lived in a number of places around the country, and there's really no place like Mason Neck, particularly this close to such a large population and so many urban centers. It's really one of a kind as a environmental, recreational, and cultural resource and amenity and asset in our area, unquestioned.
You know, when you drive down Gunston Road, it is hard to believe that you're in Fairfax County. I mean, Fairfax County, for the most part, is pretty congested in a lot of areas. And as you drive through Fairfax County, typically you see a lot of townhouses and businesses and traffic. But you turn down Gunston Road and you feel like you're out in the country. I mean, it's just wide open spaces and trees and forested area and maybe some homes, you know, dispersed sort of all over the place, but, you know, spread far apart. And it is not like any other part of Northern Virginia that I've seen.
I couldn't agree more. And I tell the story a lot that when I turned down Gunston Road and you get past approximately where the elementary school is and you begin to get into the more rural pastoral landscape setting, it's like I just feel a weight lift off my shoulders and you just take a big sigh, take a deep breath, and it's just like, okay, now I can relax a little bit again. And as you progress down the road, that amazing feeling just overtakes me even more powerfully. And I think it's one of the hallmarks of Mason Neck is that it provides such great opportunities for recreation and outdoor adventures, but also really provides that restful, nurturing experience, I think, that is so critical to our connection with the outdoors, but so critical to our community and our society in any way. So it's a wonderful place and a very special place.
Right. Especially coming off of Route 1 when you're inching along in traffic and then you finally turn the corner and it's like everything opens up in front of you.
Absolutely.
You know, I had an experience like that at Gunston Hall just recently. I was visiting towards the end of the day and I took the trail, the Riverwalk trail down to the river, and I had come back just around sunset and there was a big colony of bats that was flying around that I thought was super interesting. And so I sat down on the front steps of the mansion to watch the bats for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And in that time, I didn't see anybody. I mean, there was no one around at all. And I got to really enjoy the beauty of the wildlife around me and the sun dropping below the trees. And this was just recently, so the leaves were still a bright, blazing orange and yellow, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And I had a moment where I thought to myself, where else can you sit on the front steps of one of the most historic homes in America and never see another soul?
That's a great story, and I'm glad you shared that, because one of my daughter's favorite things to do is to sit outside and watch the bats, particularly this time of the year. We do it almost every night this time of the year. We even had a few bats in our garage the other day, which added a level of excitement. But I, you know, what you've said is resonates with me very deeply. You know, one of the amazing things about Gunston Hall is that really intimate connection between the history of the place and the humanity associated with the history of Gunston Hall, with the natural landscapes and the natural world around us. And that intersection of history and culture and environment and nature is something that is a big part of the story that we tell here, and a big part of what makes Gunston Hall such a unique resource on Mason Neck, in the Commonwealth, and in our region more broadly.
Absolutely. And you know, that history isn't just at Gunston Hall, it extends to most of the peninsula. And I think that is really interesting, the history of the Native American people there, and then of course, the colonists arriving, and the farming that happened in that area. And it's just really, it's a long history. And if you visit any part of the peninsula, you will find signage that explains that history. And it's really fascinating to learn what all happened there, and the role that it played in the development of Virginia and of our nation.
Absolutely. And I think you've absolutely captured sort of that broad arc of the history and the culture that was on Mason Neck. You know, there were a number of Native American and indigenous individuals and tribes that occupied Mason Neck before John Smith first arrived in 1608. The most prominent tribe here on Mason Neck were known as the Dogue tribe. They were Algonquin language speakers that may have been related to the Nanticoke tribe over on the eastern shore of Maryland and Delaware. And they were a thriving community when John Smith journeyed up from Tidewater and actually arrived on Mason Neck in 1608. Unfortunately, the indigenous populations in our area were largely eradicated because of the colonial incursion by the mid-1600s and certainly by the late 1600s, but their presence is still here. There are a number of really significant archaeological sites on Gunston Hall and elsewhere on Mason Neck. These sites are being increasingly interpreted by those of us at Gunston, as well as our partners and friends at our neighboring parks and refuges. Several of the trails here at Gunston Hall that you can take have signs that include QR codes that you can download content. And a lot of that content, an increasing amount of that content, talks about the Native peoples that lived here. And you know, even as recently as a couple of months ago, you can walk along our beach and find, I found spear points and arrowheads. So those stories and that culture and those perspectives are still critically important and very much present here. Obviously at Gunston, we focus much more on George Mason and his family, and equally important, the enslaved African Americans that called Gunston Hall home as well. But as we move beyond the colonial period, there was a lot of other significant history that happened on Mason Neck. Of course, there were War of 1812, American Civil War related stories. And then even more recently, when we get into 20th century, you know, an interesting find that recently turned up in the woods not too far from Gunston Hall were some old moonshine stills. So there was all sorts of fun stuff happening on Mason Neck over the course of the history of this amazing place.
And now that you mentioned that, I think we should also mention that in addition to all of these parks and other wildlife areas, the peninsula has several scenic trails and historic trails and other trails that not only highlight the geography, but the history of the area too. So there's the Potomac Heritage National Scenic Trail, which passes through there, the Occoquan Water Trail, the Washington Rochambeau Revolutionary Route National Historic Trail. I hope I said all of that right. And then I think, what else? Captain John Smith's Chesapeake National Historic Trail. Am I missing any?
I think you've got them all.
The Star Spangled Banner National Historic Trail. That was the other one I was forgetting.
All right. I forgot that one as well. And one of the great things, again, is all of these sites and all of these trails and all of these educational opportunities are connected by a bike trail, by a pedestrian trail on Mason Neck that runs parallel to Gunston Road. So we always welcome folks coming by car, but there's some great places to access and experience and visit either on your bicycle or by foot. So there's no lack of ways to engage with all the sites and all the partners and all the opportunities here on the Neck.
Right. And I really love that trail. It's one of my favorites. I've recommended it to other people in the past who have taken their families there and have experienced themselves and reported back to me that they really enjoyed being able to connect to all of those spaces really easily. Do you know offhand how many miles that is? I should know because I ride it all the time, but I'm not remembering offhand.
The trail that runs parallel to Gunston Road from start to finish at present is approximately 5 miles. There are plans in the works to extend the trail on either end a little bit further over the next 5 to 7 years. But right now, I think it's about 5 miles in total.
And does that include the section of it that runs through the wildlife refuge and into the state park?
Or just on the road? The portion of trail that gets you to the entrance. And then once you, you can turn off the actual trail and go down the driveway to the parks or come up to Gunston Hall. And I honestly don't know the total mileage for those driveways, but they're great rides, they're great walks, they're great jogs, and a great way to get some exercise and take in the sights here on Mason Neck.
Yeah. So what I usually do is I will park at any one of those locations, ride the trail along the road, and then once you turn into the refuge and get all the way down to the state park, that adds at least 2 or 3 more miles to the route, and then, of course, coming back. So I think altogether, if I ride up the driveway to Gunston Hall and then I do all of those, all the others, then it's probably 7 or 8 miles, I think, altogether, which is...
I think that's about right, yes.
Yeah, which is a really good... It's a really good ride. I mean, it takes a couple of hours and it's so pretty because as you're passing Meadowood, the horses are out grazing. And then if you drive up the road to Gunston Hall, it's just beautiful with the magnolias lining the road. And then of course the wide open meadows. And then you get into the wildlife refuge in the state park and it's all forest. And so really it's a change of scenery the entire ride.
It is. And that's one of the amazing things about Mason Neck and Gunston Hall in terms of the natural resources that are here. One of the things that was surprising to me when I first got to Gunston Hall, but really has given me a great degree of pleasure in exploring further, is that great diversity of resources that are available. Here at Gunston Hall, the house itself is situated on a high ridge that runs parallel across Mason Neck, which if we go back enough years, thousands of years, the house would have been beachfront. And one of the amazing things is the topography. This time of the year in particular, when there aren't as many leaves on the trees or as much undergrowth, one of my favorite things to do is just to get off the trails a little bit because you have such an extended vista to see and to walk. And the topography and the changes in topography are amazing. And there's hills and there's rises and there's bumps as you get closer to the river that would have been sand dunes. And there's even letters and writings from George Mason that refer to the fact that there were rises or small hills as you get closer to the water where he could not plant agriculture because it was too sandy. So you've got these amazing sort of sand dunes that now create this wonderful topography intermixed with these ravines and these bluffs and these streams. And then again, as you mentioned, you have these amazing meadows and sort of pastoral areas. And one of the other things I really enjoy is also exploring the changes in land use patterns over time. And one of the really cool things when you get down into the fields and the forest of Gunston is you can see areas where there are plant species that are presently growing that were originally planted during the colonial period and just continue to grow and bloom over time. You can see areas where there were old roadways leading to fields. You can see areas that clearly would have been cleared. And it's really an interesting opportunity, not just to explore the landscape, but also to dig a little bit more deeply into how those that were living on Mason Neck and those that were living at Gunston Hall experienced the landscape, but also shaped the landscape. And there's a lot of lessons in that too. There's a lot of lessons about conservation. There's a lot of lessons about climate change. There's a lot of lessons about how we can relate to the world in a way that sustains those resources that are increasingly part of the story we're telling here at Gunston Hall. But the other amazing thing about all that diversity, Jessica, is the plants, the trees, the wildlife, there is amazing mix of different species that you can experience here, even on just the mile and a half walk to the river here at Gunston Hall. You know, any time of the year, you can see foxes, coyotes, wild turkeys, bald eagles. In the summer and spring, we've got ospreys, all sorts of songbirds. And you can see any or all of those species on any visit, any day, any time of the year, really, which is pretty amazing too.
What I love about Gunston Hall is all of those things you just mentioned, but me as a birder, it is a fantastic birding location because you've got such a mix of forest and meadows and waterfront, and it's all right there and it's all easily accessible. And so all of those different habitats attract different types of birds and you're seeing all of it. And with it being so close to the water, you also are right on the migratory route of many birds that are either flying north or south during spring or fall. So there's always something different to be seen too.
Absolutely. And I had a great experience earlier this week. You know, I'm an early riser and I was heading over to my office not too long after sunrise earlier this week. And this amazing V of swans flew overhead and I heard them first and I looked up and there they were with their pronounced long necks and their, you know, graceful bodies and a large V just flying above me. And I just stood there sort of in awe and wonder and watched it for a while. And it, what a great way to start the day. And I'll also mention, I saw a new bird not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, maybe as much as a month ago now, but I actually saw a scarlet tanager, which was the first time I had seen one of them here at Gunston Hall, which was a really exciting experience for me. As you know, they're beautiful birds with the bright red and the black wings. So you're 100% correct. You know, there are an amazing diversity of species here, and it's that sense of discovery and sort of exploration and wonder when you see it and when you get a chance to engage and connect with it in new and different ways on a daily basis.
So I'm going to guess that those swans that you saw fly overhead were probably the tundra swans that sort of make Mesa Neck their home every winter. They must be arriving for the first time.
Yes, yes. I talked to some friends of mine here on the neck within the next couple of days, and apparently they're starting to gather in great numbers. So that's we're certainly into that time of the year.
That's cool. You know, even if you're not a birder, it is something to behold, to witness all of those hundreds of tundra swans that arrive at Mesa Neck every year. They kind of hang out in the Great Marsh, which you can see from the Wildlife Refuge. And there are two trails. There's the Wood Marsh Trail. And then there is the other trail. I'm forgetting the name of it right now. Do you remember, Scott?
I don't remember the name of it.
It's a paved trail and it's maybe a mile, so it's not very difficult, but you can access the marsh from those two trails. And there are hundreds of these huge white tundra swans that hang out in that marsh every year. And it's just so cool to see all of them in such a large number, just hanging out at the marsh and doing what swans do.
That's right. That's right.
Cool. So what else is there to do? I mean, I feel like we need to make sure that the guests understand all there is. We've talked about, you know, the habitats a little bit and the birding and the cycling, but I think each park has something special to offer and something that they can provide visitors that is different from other places. And so let's talk about those a little bit. Your immediate next door neighbor is Pohick Bay Regional Park.
That's correct. And we actually have a trail through the woods and through the forest that connects us directly in addition to the road and to the pedestrian and bike trail that we mentioned. And Pohick Bay is one of the parks that I frequent the most. One, because it's right next door. They've got a wonderful boat launch, both for trailered boats, but also for car top. It's where I take my kayak and or my canoe with great frequency throughout the year. They also have a great facility where you can rent canoes and kayaks and paddle boards and pedal boats. And it's really a wonderful location tucked back in Gunston Cove, where you can get out to the river if you would like to, or you can really go pretty deep up into the coves and the bays and into the rivers, including up Pohick Creek, which is a really fun paddle if you're in a kayak to get back into some of those areas. They've also got the water park, frisbee golf, campground, just a wonderful partner and a wonderful resource. Of course, Mesa Neck State Park is also one of my favorites. And they've got some fabulous trails that get you into some really interesting and amazing parts of the park. Great picnic area. They have a really wonderfully done small visitor center with a fascinating exhibit about the history and the environment of Mesa Neck. I encourage everybody, if you've gone to Mesa Neck State Park and you've not had a chance just to pop into the visitor center and check out that exhibit, it's well worth the visit. It's very well done, and it gives you a terrific overview of the history of Mesa Neck and the environmental resources that are here. They also have kayak launches and a rental program there. The Wildlife Refuge is great because it is a more passive recreational experience where they don't have as many of the more commercial operations in place. So it's a great chance just to get out and walk the trails and to really just immerse yourself in the quiet and the solitude and the beauty of what that really important Wildlife Refuge offers and represents. And really, one of the great stories about the Wildlife Refuge is that commitment to conservation. In many ways, it was the community and the folks that rallied to create that refuge that really established environmental conservation as a core value and as a core priority for everybody on Mesa Neck. And then, of course, you've got Meadowood, which is huge and really has the wonderful equestrian facility, some great nature trails, some really fun trails for mountain bikers. And I think that's one of the real prominent opportunities at Meadowood is both the equestrian, but the mountain biking. And then, of course, you have Gunson Hall. You know, Gunson Hall is a National Historic Landmark, historic site and museum. Our mission at Gunston Hall is to explore and understand the ideas and principles that George Mason articulated in the 1776 Virginia Declaration of Rights, which became the foundation for our Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights. And we fulfill that mission through the exhibits in our visitor center. We have a wonderful exhibit now called Revolutionary Rights that explores Mason's ideas, his choices, his actions, and his legacy. The house itself is a signature aspect of the experience at Gunston. George Mason and his wife, Anne, started building Gunston Hall in 1755. And over the next 4 years or so, they completed the house and moved in. And it's one of the most significant architectural and decorative arts experiences in Virginia and really in the United States, a really significant home. But I think most importantly, what we do at Gunston Hall is tell the full and diverse stories of those that lived here, the Mason family, the enslaved African Americans. And we really do that in a way that's idea focused and family centered. But in addition to touring the house, you know, we've got a really robust archaeological program, which is interactive. So you can come out, you can talk with our archaeologists, you can see what they are excavating, you can hear what they're finding and how that helps us better understand the history of the people and the place. And then I'll just touch on a wonderful project that will open to the public in 2021, which is the restoration of George Mason's Riverside Garden. This is an amazing project for us where we are restoring the Riverside Garden at Gunston Hall to its colonial era appearance. And what's amazing about that, Jessica, is particularly as we think about outdoors and nature, this was a significant aspect of the landscape that Mason designed for his home here at Gunston Hall. And what we know about this landscape is largely derived from archaeology. So we've been able to find through archaeology where the fence posts were located, where the paths were located. And I think what's really exciting is we've even found seeds and pollen. So we have a really good idea of many of the plants that were grown in this garden, which was designed to provide produce and food for the Mason family household. And this garden gives us a wonderful opportunity, not just to talk about the history, but also to talk about food and to talk about access to food and to talk about sort of our individual and collective relationship with the landscapes and the natural world around us. So stay tuned, but in 2021, we'll be opening that garden to the public, and it'll just be one more opportunity to learn about and understand and explore not just the history of Gunston Hall, but Mason's ideas, his connection with the landscape, and what his legacy continues to mean and why it's so relevant for us today.
You know, you and I had a really interesting conversation lately about how Gunston Hall is now working in a partnership with the other natural resource areas on the peninsula to do some conservation work and to provide some educational opportunities to visitors regarding the not just the history, but the conservation of that whole area. And then, of course, the role that it played in history. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, one of our core values at Gunston Hall is stewardship. And, you know, we act upon that belief and that value, not just in terms of providing stewardship for the historic houses and the cultural resources here at Gunston Hall, but also the landscapes and the natural world that we're also responsible for caring for and preserving and being good stewards of. And increasingly, as we have thought about our mission, and as I said, our mission is really focused on the ideas that were expressed by George Mason in the Virginia Declaration of Rights. And in Article 1 of the Declaration of Rights, he states that all men are born equally free and independent and have certain inherent rights, which include life, liberty, the means of acquiring and possessing property, and securing happiness and safety. And as we think about those ideas, and as we think about what those ideas not just meant to George Mason in the 1770s, but what they continue to mean to us today, you know, we really increasingly are eager to define and to advocate for our belief that clean water, clean air, access to the environment and the natural world around us are an inherent right for everyone, everywhere, all the time. And that clean water, clean air, access to nature are central and fundamental to our ability to achieve life and liberty and happiness and safety. Our emphasis, our attempts to be more engaged in this conservation work and in conservation work in partnership with our partners is very much aligned with our mission and very much aligned with our belief that not only do we have a fundamental responsibility to serve as good stewards of the land in addition to the buildings and the stories, but also to really advocate for our belief that clean water, clean air, equal access to the world around us and opportunities to be involved in decisions about what's happening on our landscapes, what's happening in our communities, are all inherent rights and all fall within the framework that Mason first articulated in 1776. So we're motivated by this. We're inspired by this. We're increasingly working with other partners that have a similar interest and commitment to this work. And in many ways are increasingly engaged with what the Commonwealth of Virginia is doing specific to environmental justice, increasingly engaged with our partners on the neck and making sure that we are all collectively and collaboratively working for not just environmental justice, but for environmental conservation, and also working with other partners. As I think I shared with you when we last visited, Jessica, we're working on a wonderful partnership at present with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation around a document that some of the student leaders that are engaged in the work of the foundation wrote, which is an outdoor bill of rights. And this is a collaboration and a partnership that is directly related to our work, directly related to our mission, directly related to Mason's legacy in terms of other individuals, other organizations taking the example of a declaration or a bill of rights and using it as a vehicle to advance a cause and advance a movement of significance and of importance around the larger issues of justice and equality. And we're excited about that partnership, and there will be a special program coming up here next month that will explore that further. But these are all examples of what we're trying to do to be more actively engaged in that space. And another really good example that I would share is I mentioned the Riverside Garden. You know, we're presently providing all of the produce that we grow in that garden to the local Lorton Community Action Center, which is a wonderfully important, tremendously important and really impactful social services agency in our community here in Lorton that provides a lot of service, including food and food bank services to a number of folks in our community. And that allows us to also explore issues of food justice and food scarcity and access to food, particularly fresh produce, healthy food. So it's been an exciting process for us. Over the past months and year, a couple of years, to think more about how we can apply our mission to this work. It's something that I am personally very much invested in and passionate about. And we have a wonderful opportunity here at Gunston Hall, but also more broadly on Mason Neck, to really help advance these causes and play a leading role in ensuring that not only are these resources saved, but that all have equal access to what they provide and what they offer.
It's a really big change from the approach that not just Gunston Hall, but other historic homes and plantations have taken in the past, where there seems to be, in the past, there has been more of a focus on just the historic nature of the owner and the owner's family. And now it is becoming something different. And I think that the new mission is really apparent at Gunston Hall. I mean, as soon as you pull up the driveway, one of the first things you see are hiking trails and benches, and it's very inviting as an outdoor space. And I find myself being drawn to Gunston Hall frequently, not because I want to, you know, take a tour of the mansion or because I want to see all the historic sites. I've seen them and they are interesting, but I keep coming back because I'm drawn to the nature and I'm drawn to the access to the trails and the access to the riverfront and the peacefulness and the connectivity to all of the areas around there. And so there really is much more to it than just learning about the history of George Mason and his family, but being connected to the land seems to be the big draw.
It's an amazing aspect of what we do here. And one of the great things for us at Gunston is not only is there this really important alignment and connection to our mission and to these ideas, but also George wrote extensively about his personal connection and relationship with the place and with the landscapes here. So there's also this more personal connection back to George and his clearly articulated and obviously very sort of fundamental relationship with the land as well. And that's something that we're increasingly exploring and trying to connect back to our educational work and to our conservation and preservation work here. And another real interesting way we're able to tie all these pieces together, you know, history and nature, is again through our archaeology program. And we're finding not just seeds and pollen relating to what was grown in the garden, but we really are finding some amazing artifacts associated with things like what people were eating. So we are finding certain types of bones and fish scales in the kitchen yard, which is where food would have been prepared for the Mason family. And we're finding very separate and distinct types of bones and fish scales, as one example, in the areas where the enslaved community were living. And a great example is, you know, we're finding lots of oyster shells, for instance, in the kitchen yard. And clearly the Mason family were purchasing and importing oysters from other parts of the Bay watershed for their own personal consumption. We're not finding oyster shells in the enslaved community. What we're finding are scales from gar. And at the time, gar was considered a less than preferred fish amongst the Mason family and his peers to eat. But what's interesting about that is we're finding huge numbers of gar scales in the enslaved community, which indicates and confirms that clearly those who were enslaved here were consuming vast quantities of gar, which would have been a very easily caught source of protein for those that were enslaved here. So again, we're really seeing this fascinating intersection between the history, the environment, and the relationship between how different people at different times in our history were connecting and using and living here on the landscapes at Gunston and in the waterways around Gunston.
And didn't you also mention to me that you were finding bones from farmed animals in the kitchen yard versus wild animals near the enslaved quarters?
Correct. So it's interesting. You know, you're finding a lot of long bones from small game in the enslaved communities that clearly did not bear the mark of being butchered The bones that we find in the kitchen yard were much more frequently butchered cuts of meat. And again, what you're seeing is this really important opportunity to explore the differences between how those that were enslaved here and the Mason family lived and connected with their environment. But you're also seeing some really interesting patterns and really interesting legacies of what species and what types of food and what types of animals were being sought after and consumed here broadly on the plantation.
And around the same time, I believe there were other farms too. I mean, Gunston Hall wasn't the only farm. I know when I go hiking at Meadowood, which is just down the street from Gunston Hall, there's signage up about farms that existed in that area. And you can see evidence of very old roads through the forest where they were, I guess, pulling wagons that were taking crops to the water, which once they were on the water, that's how they were carried to market. Is that correct?
Correct. There was a great deal of, you know, agriculture and commercial activity here. And obviously there were roadways and in conjunction with the river, this was how everything came and went. And you can still see vestiges of that, both in terms of the land-based transportation corridors, but also some locations where there were historic wharfs. We know the location of George Mason's wharf along the river. There's also a find that we're beginning to investigate more fully along Gunston Cove that we believe was the location of one of George Mason's fisheries, where he would have had pound nets. And that's something that we're beginning to explore more comprehensively now. So there are in many places throughout Mason Neck, pieces of compelling evidence for how over time different people have lived on Mason Neck, absolutely.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there is a long legacy of people conserving the Mason Neck area as far as the residents living there are concerned. You know, I think Elizabeth Hartwell was one of those people, right? Like she was a resident of Mason Neck and was very active in founding the wildlife refuge because of the decline of the bald eagle species.
Exactly. You're 100% correct. And I'm continuing right up until today with the great work that the Mason Neck Citizens Association does to continue that continue and build upon Elizabeth Hartwell's legacy and continue to ensure that conservation and preservation of the place and the sense of place and the resources here is in the forefront of all that we do. And we also benefit from tremendous support from a number of other community partners and elected officials that really embrace that commitment and help Mason Neck Citizens Association and the residents on Mason Neck make sure that this place will always retain the amazing sense of place that characterizes it today, as well as the amazing array of diverse environmental resources and recreational opportunities that exist.
Yeah, the reason why that corner of Fairfax County does not feel like Fairfax County at all is because of the work of the residents in conserving the space. I think there were less than 500 bald eagles in the 1960s around the time that Elizabeth Hartwell became active in creating the wildlife refuge. And it really is her work and the people that she partnered with who were responsible for bringing back the bald eagle in that area.
That's 100% correct. And it's one of the most amazing things anytime I am visiting with guests or providing friends or family a tour of Gunston Hall that maybe have not visited Gunston Hall before. And when the bald eagles fly overhead when you're doing that, and the folks that I'm with are having a chance to see a bald eagle, or in many cases, three or four bald eagles at the same time for the first time, it's magical and it's majestic and it's just awe-inspiring in what that means for folks that have that opportunity. And in many ways, I think it encapsulates what is so special and what is so powerful about Mason Neck and Gunston Hall and all the sites out here is that it's an opportunity to not just educate and to provide opportunities for recreation, but it really creates opportunities for profound and meaningful experiences that in many ways you can't do anywhere else. Experiences that are both individual, but also communal. And the look on somebody's face when they see a bald eagle flying above for the first time just reinforces why places like Mesa Neck are so important, not just as destinations, but so important to our psyche, to our soul, and to our spirit.
I would agree wholeheartedly. In fact, there was an eagle flying over our heads when you and I were together just a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. And still, you know, I see bald eagles a lot now, but every time it happens, I pause and I look up and I just have a hard time averting my gaze and coming back to my office to get to work. No matter how many times it happens, it retains that sense of magic and awe going back to the first time it happened.
That's right. And I think one of the ways that people can experience that at Gunson Hall is the great trail system that has recently been installed. And how can people access those trails?
Sure, absolutely. We have a number of trails. A couple of the most prominent trails that we have are the River Trail, which is about a mile and a half trail that leads you down to the beach along the Potomac River. We have a wonderful bluff trail that leads you over to some really high bluffs that overlook Gunston Cove and Pohick Bay, but also allow you to get down to some of the beaches over there. We have an award-winning bluebird trail that leads you along the periphery of some of our fields and meadows and forests that at certain times of the year affords you an amazing opportunity to see hundreds of bluebirds, but every time of the year affords you a really interesting opportunity to see that that intersection where meadows and fields transition into forest. They're three of the most prominent, and there are a number of ways you can connect or find these trails. All of these trails are well signed and well marked at various points along the route. We have a large format outdoor sign outside our visitor center that's a big map that gives you a chance to see where these trails go, where they start, and where they finish. And you can also come into our visitor center 9:30 to 5 o'clock on the days that we are open, which is almost every day, and talk to our wonderful team, get a map, and then go out and just explore on your own. So we encourage you to come out and take the trails. It's a wonderful way to get outdoors and experience nature and learn about the history of this place. And it's a great opportunity to reconnect with really what nurtures and enriches us all.
There's so much to do at Mesa Neck. There's really no way that anybody could do it all in one day or even in 2 days. Is there a place where people can stay if they want to experience this for multiple days?
There are. There are a couple of hotels in Lorton. There's a hotel across the river, just off the I-95 interchange with Route 123 near downtown Occoquan. Then as you work up a little bit further towards Fort Belvoir and Mount Vernon, there are a number of other hotels there, all of which offer really easy access to Mesa Neck, and all of which are in proximity to restaurants and other amenities, because there's a whole lot to do in South County above and beyond Mesa Neck. You've got Mount Vernon. You've now got the National Museum of the United States Army. You've got the Workhouse Art Center with the Lucy Burns Museum over off 123. You've got Woodlawn and the Pope Leahy House. So here in South County, above and beyond what you can do on Mesa Neck, there's really just a treasure trove of amazing places, all of which can be accessed easily and conveniently on a day trip, but also please come spend the night and check everything out over a course of a long weekend.
And I think it's also important to note that Pohick Bay Regional Park is the only space on Mesa Neck that offers a campground and cabins, right?
That's right. And they're really phenomenal. And thank you for reminding me. I should have mentioned that at the outset, but they got some great campsites and some really wonderful cabins. You can also bring an RV or a camper. So please take advantage of those opportunities as well.
And I think at some point, Mesa Neck State Park has
recently built a paddling campground. I don't know if it's open because of COVID. I think it was supposed to be open this spring, but keep an eye out for that as well. So you can actually paddle your canoe or your kayak up to the park and camp out on the beach, I believe, or near the beach is where it's supposed to be located.
Very good. Look forward to seeing folks out here on Mesa Neck, and just encourage everybody to come check out Gunston Hall. You can find more information about Gunston Hall at gunstonhall.org. And really just take advantage of an amazing destination right here in your backyard. Come on out and check us out.
Absolutely. So before we sign off, I want to ask you a couple of closing questions that I ask all my guests. So the first question is, what is one piece of gear you can't live without?
I love that question. It's a hard question to answer, but I've boiled it down to one of the things that I enjoy most doing, and that really affords me one of my favorite opportunities to get outside, is to go fishing. So I would have to say I would want to have my fishing rod with me at all times. I was debating fishing rod or kayak, but I have to go fishing rod because I can do that from my kayak or from shore, whether I'm on a stream, a river, a bay, or on the beach. So I'm going to go fishing rod, Jessica.
And then the last question is, what is your next Virginia outdoor adventure?
Another great question. And one of the things I'm hoping to be able to do this fall, which is just a beautiful time of the year in Virginia, no matter where you are in Virginia. One of my favorite places to go over on the Eastern Shore is the Virginia Coast Reserve, which is the Nature Conservancy-owned property on the seaside of the Eastern Shore, so on the Atlantic side. And the Nature Conservancy has done an amazing job preserving significant land, both along the Eastern Shore Peninsula, but also the barrier islands off the peninsula. And there's a number of really amazing opportunities to explore really pristine Atlantic coastal barrier islands. It's one of my favorite places to go. And particularly this time of the year, you can get out there and kayak and really see the migratory birds and really experience that coastal setting in a very different way than you can do in the summer. And I think that's what I'm hoping to do next, maybe get over there with the family if when it's safe to do so. But this is one of my favorite times of the year to be over there, and I'm hoping to make a trip when I can.
That really sounds wonderful. Scott, I think we have talked a lot about all there is to do at Mesa Neck today. Hiking, cycling, boating, fishing, paddling, mountain biking, camping. What do we miss? Horseback riding, birding, wildlife observation. There, the list goes on. And it's really been a pleasure to talk to you, not only about all there is to do in that area, but the really rich history of the area and the role that Gunston Hall and the state parks and the wildlife refuge and the management areas, the role that they're all playing together to conserve that area and make sure that it's accessible to everyone for a long time to come.
Well, thank you, and thank your listeners. Very honored and very excited to be part of this podcast, and just appreciate all you're doing to not only tell the story of Mesa Neck, but to connect people with all sorts of wonderful outdoor adventures in our great Commonwealth. Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, Scott. Adventure on.
If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us. Rate, review, and share with a friend. Follow us on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you may listen to podcasts. Virginia Outdoor Adventures is hosted by me, Jessica Bowser. Cover art illustrated by Olivia Smith. Editing by Alexander Valencia. Executive production by Steph Garrett. We love to hear from our listeners. Contact us on our website, virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, adventure on.